Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. As always, today is going to be a fun topic, especially since Johnny's more versed in the eBay space and I'm the Amazon guy. Are we doing too little or too much for the platforms? And when we talk about this, I guess the first thing that jumps out is like, what are the actual platform expectations and what extra things are we doing? I think the big one in Amazon land is people over prep their items. It's not required on 99.9% of media, but people will still, you know, polybag their items even though they don't need to be polybagged. People will still wipe things down that don't need to be wiped down. I think in eBay land, as much as we make fun about it, people put like little tchotchkes, little candies in the packages and give free things away. See, Johnny's like, I'll never do that. But Johnny's never bought, you know, like something from like a somebody that made something handmade and you just get their item and you get candy. Like this has literally happened to me and Deb because Deb likes to buy a lot of little handmade stuff off eBay. And like, I think it's a balancing act. And I personally think overall resellers hold themselves to higher standards than the platforms do.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that. And then I think in our own heads, we get caught up more so in customer expectations and we want the customer to have a good experience because we are dreadfully afraid of the negative repercussions, like a negative feedback, it affecting your account score or getting a return. And both of those negative feedback and returns apply to both platforms there. I think it's a fear more than anything. And Amazon and eBay both have a, this is what's required line. And we tend to go above that line unnecessarily, I think, just out of pure morbid fear. Also, they changed the rules unexpectedly on us from time to time, and we were talking about condition notes in one of the calls we did recently, and we don't got to do pretty much a lot of the stuff a lot of us probably do. I think we over-condition or undergrade our books, like, no, it's good or acceptable, and it's like, no, it's kind of like new and kind of very good, and there's other things of pricing. I think we, especially in eBay land, we tend to undervalue our items. And yeah, you can look at sold comps, but use your noggin for a second. What's the most, and here's where you can play the customer angle. What's the most you think a customer, you can put yourself in the customer's shoes here, would actually pay for it? You should probably price it there. Cause I tell you, I sell $4 books for $30 every day. And just because I know that's what the customer is willing to pay maximum. Now, if you want a higher sell-through rate, and a lot of you focus on sell-through rate, that's perfectly fine. Price your items at $4. Good luck with that.
I think you hit it on the head, dude. A lot of people, like, I want to be the opposite. I want to be the guy that, like, barely does enough, right? Like, they're like, hey, Mike, if you want to keep selling, you need to do this. And I'm like, okay, I think I can fit that in. And, like, I fit it in at the last second. I think a lot of people either go one way or fully the other way. It's hard to find the middle ground. People are either like, I'm going to take care of my stuff so good, right? I remember when I used to merchant fulfill on Amazon, and people would be up in arms because I put CDs and DVDs and bubble mailers instead of boxes. And I'm just like, guys, have you ever gotten an Amazon package? They'll put a single item in a box that's 36 inches long, 36 inches wide. It'll be completely destroyed, or they'll just slap the label on the actual item and throw it out front. And I think in eBay land, you have the same thing. You got people that buy like the most expensive boxes, or you got the people that use the DiGiorno boxes, right? But if you look at the actual shipping guidelines on eBay, it doesn't say, you know, please don't use recycled food boxes, right? So people are like, well, I'm kind of, you know, if I'm just going off what they're telling me here, then when I'm done eating a DiGiorno, I can ship something in it, dude. It's, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and then I think we focus a little too much on being in the business as well. As far as there's a lot of boxes to check in especially Amazon, I think, because you got to check for stranded inventory. You got to check for is your repricer working? You got to do this, you got to do that, and all these little subsequent things. A lot of that for a whole, I don't know, $3 to $5 an hour can be outsourced to somebody else to do. There's that whole trust factor, and you got to have the capital to, well, can you afford 3 to 5 hours for 10 hours of work or 15 hours of work a week or a month, depending on the level of what's needed. And people, I get it, people don't want employees or they don't want to manage people because a lot of this is about freedom, right? In reselling, we all just want personal freedom. We don't want anybody else involved beyond our own hands touching it. But we lose a lot of our freedom when our hands are touching the little minor things that are kind of unnecessary for us to touch. And I think to get that freedom you're claiming you want and desire, a little bit of outsourcing. I'm not talking factory level assembly line, big warehouse, forklift kind of nonsense, but everybody can afford a VA. Once you get past that 6 month hurdle, if you're new. If you're new listening to this, you gotta wait a minute before you can hire somebody because you gotta figure out what the heck you need to be checkboxing on Amazon. On eBay land, since we're pretty much merchant fulfilling, you can hire a shipper. It's a no-brainer to print out a label and weigh an item. Once you since scale, you gotta be selling enough to justify that as well. That's the other benchmark over in eBay land. So I think outsourcing when you need to get your personal freedom back is kind of a big deal that's undervalued and most people resist, and a lot of them never do when they need to.
Yeah, I think it actually ties into people like trying to do too much for the platform too fast, right? Like maybe they hire somebody because I want to ship my stuff immediately, but I don't want to ship it. I'm gonna have pay somebody else to ship it. So like it's tough because eBay doesn't tell you, hey, you need to ship within 2 days, right? Amazon only gives you 2 days as merchant to pack and ship your order, regardless whether you can't get to the storage unit. It's snowing outside. You think Amazon cares? They don't give a shit. If you're like in the middle of the Twister movie and there's cows flying by your house and it's the second day and you got to get that item shipped.
eBay monitors the weather. They know there's a blizzard and they let you know it's okay. It's okay. Your account's not going to be affected. You're A-okay. We're going to give you a week bonus time. It's all good.
It is kind of scare tactics, though, man. I think in Amazon, honestly, feedback doesn't matter. Once you get your first few, it has no effect on you, especially if you're FBA. Even if you're FBM, I see people selling on these listings that have like under 70% feedback. They still exist. And eBay, it's a little bit different. I think eBay does penalize you if you do get a lot of
There's
negative
a
feedback.
financial repercussion if you go under certain scores. I don't think in both platforms the actual customer feedback typing up something matters or your score, but it does matter in the fact if you get too much, you're going to take a 10 to 30% depending on where you land on being bad out of your payments. And that's not, I don't like a 10 to 30% hit.
I agree. It's you got to know what the line is, and even if you're the greatest, nicest, you put a freshly baked apple pie in every single one of your orders, right? Or you ask the customer what's your favorite pie, and you bake them one, and you send it to them along with the dirty pair of socks you sold them, right? You can still get a negative feedback. We see it all the time in Amazon. Somebody will leave a feedback for something that's not even a damn book, right? It's not even something we've ever sold in our life. And
Yeah.
thankfully, we can go get it removed. Now, I'm not sure what it is in eBay land when it comes to selling something, or you get a feedback that's for a book and it says like, "Hey, this item was broken upon arrival." It's like I don't know what the eBay kind of land of the laws when it comes to that. But Amazon, if it's FBA, you can get it removed. But if it's FBM, even if it's for the wrong item, you're fighting an uphill battle to try to get this one stupid feedback removed. My mentality is just go sell more items, and eventually the percentage will just kind of balance itself out. I think that is the solution to all these crazy fears that we have about, like, if I get a negative feedback and oh no, what's going to happen? I think they want us to think that because they want us to provide the best customer service. But if you're wasting time and you're spending extra time on shit that don't matter, it's just detrimental to your business, even though you feel like, oh, this is great for the customer. Well, if it's not required, I'm here to tell you, you're playing by the platform rules, not your own rules. A lot of us have these own requirements when it comes to our reselling business. I get it. We have high standards, 100%. But if it's not required of me, right? Like people that polybag every single item, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you have the time to polybag every item. I'm glad you enjoy polybagging every item. But for me, Amazon don't care. Listen, I'm right here in cahoots. I don't care either.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Yeah, I mean, at eBay Land, it's hard to get something negative reversed these days. It used to be a lot easier. You could even do agent shopping if you didn't like what the agent told you. But they kind of cracked down on that because the system was being very much abused. So it kind of just sticks with you unless you can buy eBay legalese, weasel your way out. Because a lot of the time, those issues the customers have, they're legitimate. I mean, there's some fraud. There's fraud always across the board with returns and all of that. People sending rocks back and or using the item for a day and then returning it, and it's nonsense, right? What I think we do too little in is instead of muddling through and thinking about the day-to-day, how can I make my business better? I think those thoughts are, we all have them, right? But I don't think we kind of talked this about my call a little bit, and I asked the question, how much dedicated time a week do you put into making your business better? And the answers varied from a set amount of time to whenever I'm thinking about it, even if I'm on the toilet kind of deal. And I don't think there's a wrong answer there unless you're not doing it. You have to be doing it. The frequency and the duration, I don't think matters as much as long as it's being done. It could be a once a year evaluations. That's what corporations do pretty much at a council of witches and warlocks. But I think that's the necessary to not long suffering. You want to suffer less in your business because the more money you can make and the more streamlined you can make your business, the better off you and your business will be as a whole. You'll be able to sleep better, maybe get a few extra hours of sleep, get a few extra hours of free time, and make more money with less hours being done. That's what we all need to be focusing on.
Yeah, I think you're right, 'cause even if we just look back from like the years since we started doing this, like every year we've had like some big breakthrough on like how we're going to do things differently and how much more money it's made us that year. I just give some quick references. We started sending in these stuff that had no FBA offers on Amazon. We started sending in the fast moving stuff regardless of the amount of offers on the listing on Amazon. Like those two things alone in the past 2 years have probably made me an extra $50,000. So it's like you always have to be looking for ways to get better. And I think getting better is not just doing more just to do more. I think that's where people fall down the slippery slope. So I'm just going to do more, even though there's no monetary gain and the platform doesn't expect it of me. But hey, I'm doing more now. I'm spending the extra time and I'm touching each item for an extra 5 seconds than I was prior. I think that's the wrong way to do it. And I think that's what a lot of people turn to is like, yes, I'm doing more now in the business. Well, are you doing more than what's expected? Because I'm just going to sit here and argue with that person every day instead of wiping down and polybagging every single item that's not required. Why don't you just go scan more profitable items and send them more profitable items if it's not required?
Yeah, and then like me, I check for interior water damage, not the exterior that you could see. I'm start in Amazon. I wouldn't do this in eBay, but in Amazon, I question if that's even needed. Probably not, because to me, as a book reader, that's a big deal. But I also look at people's return percentages. We talk about this frequency. The people not checking for that, which is like everybody but me, is nil. It's like a percent difference. So my careness factor, at least in Amazon land, it's probably got to go down there. That's probably a change I'll be making soon. Again, I'm not doing that in eBay because I know my eBay customers and I know they check for that stuff, but Amazon customers probably don't, or they just Well, I paid 10 bucks for it. Screw it.
I guess it's toughest for you, right? Because you have this Amazon business that you treat like your firstborn child, where every book has, 300
It's hard for
photos.
me not to treat my Amazon business like my eBay
Yeah,
business.
yeah, yeah. You
It's
got both
really, really
sides.
hard.
Yeah, because you're like, all right, 300 photos for this book, right? And then you go to Amazon, and you're like, well, this thing's probably acceptable. I'm like, no, dude, that's new. Right? It's
Shrink wrap that, yeah.
you gotta like flip a switch when you're like, I'm gonna send stuff to
I
Amazon
do. I do
today.
have to do that. I'm like, okay, I can't care as much in Amazon,
But
even though I
that's,
make more money in Amazon.
dude, that is Johnny's guidelines. That's not what Amazon expects. It's
Yep.
what Johnny expects. And that's where people get tripped up. It's easy for me because I don't care about this stuff. I'm just
You
like,
care like zero.
yeah, I'm just like, let me max out how much money I can make, max out what condition I can send things in. And
Oh,
I
the book's
think
in two. I got some scotch tape. This will be as good as new in no time.
it's easy for me, but I think more people are like you than they are like me. When it comes to selling media or anything in general, I think people take a lot of care and pride in what they do. But if it is, I do feel like in a lot of situations, it does slow down their financial growth and it does hinder them the financial aspect of it. But if you get enjoyment out of, doing those things and you can account for it and you're comfortable with the money you make, we talk about this all the time. I never inspire to be the mega warehouse seller, I never inspire to have employees. So for me, I'm comfortable with the money I make. And if you're that person and you're comfortable with what you're making and the results you're getting, and you enjoy doing the extra steps, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's the people that are like, I want to keep growing. And we're like, Johnny's like, okay, well, what are you spending your time on? Well, it takes me 3 hours to pack my five orders for the day, right? Like, oh, the bells go off right away for us. And we're like, well, what the hell are you doing? Right. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, I have these super nice boxes and I got to get the perfect size box for the item. And then I got to get the perfect dunnage inside of it. Like those are the people that suffer.
Yeah, I agree with that. And here's the other thing. I see it everywhere, and it's not platform specific, is people spend way too much time in conspiracy theory land, either reading or contributing to. And where's the money in that? It's always my question. I see no money in that because that is a thing that is out of your control, and we're just speculating. Now, people bank on, if I can get ahead of the conspiracy theory craft, I can make a lot of money. I want to see how many people have actually done that. Is there a poll somewhere? Because I'm going to guess it's a small number.
No, I think you're right. I think a lot of people get easily sidetracked and they take things into account that don't exist, like you said, right? People will literally change things in their business because some bozo on YouTube said that if you do this, eBay will give you more sales, right? I guess that, like, wasn't that whole like relist, delist, relist thing like a conspiracy, or am I wrong, right? Like that, I feel like that's the biggest one I've heard of in reselling is like in eBay, you delist your item, or I don't know how it works, but it's some shit where you delist it and relist it, and it's like magically all of a sudden it's going to sell.
All that is you do get a little algorithmic bump when you list a new item. So ending your listings and relisting, or that doesn't work in itself, but ending and selling similar, which is you just made a new listing, you're going to get a 24-hour bump because that's a newly listed item. Ending and delisting does not work. That it's the same item. You're doing nothing. And that's why when our items renew once a month, because the timer goes for 30 days, it gets treated as new because it's been that same process is being done automated by eBay. You're just forcing the hand doing what I've described. You're just doing it ahead of time. I conjecture on, is your item going to sell anyway? I mean, putting your item in front of the right customer at the right time, yeah, there's a little bit of merit there, but for your efforts, I don't think the margin's that great. But anyway,
Yeah.
the one I loved on eBay conspiracy land is there used to be there's a little door icon on eBay, and it would be two colors, red or blue. And when you got, I think it was blue, you were going to get more sales for the day. And when it was red, you're not going to get any sales for the day, or less sales. And it was a big thing, and people swore by it. It was like, I got the red door today.
Guess I'm not working today.
Yeah.
Dude, that's I didn't really realize that like eBay did that automatically because I remember your listings will automatically renew. It is funny though because there's probably a lot of people that still like that's it's still a thing, right? It's like even if the platforms come out and say it's not a thing, there's still people that are gonna like die on these hills, right? They're gonna be like, no, it is a thing. They just don't want us knowing about it.
Right. And then if you do this process and you get one sale out of it, the question is, was that organic or did it what you did work? And then if it they'll die on the hill, I did it, so it must work. I made one sale. Whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of like the promoted listings things too, where people are like, well, if everybody promotes at 2%, then in theory, none of us were promoting. I'm just like, guys, why are we wasting our energy and time worrying about if every single reseller promotes at 2%, then theoretically nobody's promoting. Yes, but that's not the case. Not everybody. I think people
Everybody's at
give
two, I'm at three.
everybody's like You give people, I think this is another thing, is resellers give other resellers too much credit. I think every reseller thinks every other reseller is like the greatest business owner ever. And I'm like the complete opposite. I think every other reseller is a complete Patrick Starr. Huh? What am I doing today? Right? Like, and people are like, I gotta be the best because all my competition is the best. Guys, just look around. Go on eBay and look at some of the photos. Go on Amazon, look at some of the feedback. Anybody can be a reseller. Any single person, any single Joe Blow you meet walking down the street can be a reseller. And I think people overcompensate for their competition and think they got to do all this extra stuff because, sure, if I'm going to compete directly with Johnny and I'm going to sell the same type of books he sells, 100%, you're up against something here that makes sense. But for just our average sellers, just listen to average stuff. We are giving way too many people way too much credit because in the reselling land, there's only a handful of people that are really doing this profitable at a six-figure scale. That's just the facts of it. No matter what you see people talking about on the internet, a lot of people you see talking aren't putting the numbers they say they're putting up. Until you see a screenshot of somebody's sales, then guess what? You hold no water, to me at least.
Yeah, we get in our own way too much. We are the problem. It's us. And it's not Amazon. It's not eBay. Do they do some crappy things from time to time? 100%. But that's just expected. And if you're new and don't know that's expected, this is me telling you it's expected. And you getting mad about it. Everybody's entitled to 60 seconds of frustration once they get the news. You can punch a pillow, throw a baby, do whatever you want. You should probably edit that throw the baby part out. But anyway, after 60 seconds, you got to get back in your business. It's out of your hands, it's out of your control. 100%. There's nothing you can do. Going on the forums does nothing. Screaming to Mike about it during a 101 does nothing except puts money in Mike's pocket, and you should do that. Going on Discord, going on Facebook, going on anything and just complain, 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 or conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy does nothing for you. Maybe it makes you feel a little bit better getting it out, but there's therapists for that. You don't need to waste your time. Stop wasting your time with this nonsense, please.
I think the whole call should have just been what you just said because I don't think there's anything else to this. So we're going to wrap it up here. I will caution you if you have a baby, watch out around Johnny because he just went on
Going
record
out the
that
window.
babies will be flying in Texas somewhere. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We appreciate you watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast platform, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.